Do unbelievers have the Holy Spirit? Can an unbeliever have access to the Holy Spirit? Now, there are many religions, many semi-religious people, many people who believe that the Holy Spirit is accessible by all. And is this true? These people believe that all that is required is love. And if you have love in your heart, God kind of looks on to your heart and imputes to you the benefits of having the Holy Spirit. Is this true? Others believe that you can live your own life or do your own thing, and somehow God looks on you know, your intents, and not what you do, but what you intend to do, and imputes to you the benefits once again of having the Holy Spirit. Is this true? So I'd like to ask you the question and answer the question today in this sermonette: do unbelievers have the Holy Spirit? Now, if you're a Bible believer, we're not talking about a person that follows the traditions of the world as far as they concern religion, but if you're a Bible believer and you read the Bible, you understand that there are certain requirements for receiving the Holy Spirit. If these requirements are not met, you cannot receive the Holy Spirit. So let's look at a couple of things that concern the Holy Spirit and believers, and whether unbelievers have the Holy Spirit and what it takes to get the Holy Spirit, just in a general way. Let's look at the first example. This is Jesus. Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit. And this is found in the book of John. John, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in John 7, verse 39. Now, John 7 takes place on the Passover. I'm tempted to give a sermon on all of the biblical sayings you see plastered on bumper stickers and in people's living rooms that have actually been spoken on holy days. I always wonder, well, you believe in the saying, but you're not keeping the day it was spoken on. That's another subject. This was spoken on the day of Passover, or the evening of Passover, the last Passover Jesus was going to have with his disciples. He was talking to them about, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to send the helper. I'm going to send the comforter, and he's going to help you. It's going to help you. Excuse me. Notice verse 39. But this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now notice what it says. Notice what Jesus said that was required for those to receive the Holy Spirit. And this he spoke concerning the Spirit, which those believing in him would receive. Believing. If you don't believe in him, you're not going to receive the Holy Spirit. Because later it says that, you know, you're my disciples, there's 12 of you here, there's another, you know, depending on how you count it, another 120 disciples, day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit's going to be given, flames of fire, speaking in tongues, and all of that. We'll go to Jerusalem and tarry. And he's telling them that those that believe Jesus are going to receive the Holy Spirit. So if you don't believe Jesus, or you're not a believer in Jesus, or you believe in the New Age properties of many religions, or you believe that, you know, different things, if you don't specifically believe in Jesus, then you cannot receive the Holy Spirit. So one of the requirements, and these are not all the requirements, but one of the requirements is you have to believe. So therefore, by definition, if you're not a believer, you cannot receive the Holy Spirit, because Jesus said that those that believe would receive the Holy Spirit. Now, if you follow through on what happened in the book of Acts, chapter 2, they were there in the temple, and there's no record of anyone who was not a believer receiving the Holy Spirit. So this is one of the requirements, and this basically answers the question, can unbelievers have the Holy Spirit? And by definition, you must believe in Jesus Christ, you must believe in him in order to receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus also mentioned a couple of other things that were required. These are the words of Jesus that were required to receive the Holy Spirit. A lot of people believe, well, I go to this Christian institution, or all of my friends at work are Christians, so they must have the Holy Spirit. They must have it. But we're not interested in what you believe or what I believe. We're interested in what Jesus said. And in Mark chapter 16, in verse 16, he covers this subject again about the Holy Spirit. So let's look at what Jesus said about being able to receive the Holy Spirit. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He who believes, we already covered that back in the book of John, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So you have to be baptized to receive the Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit is what gives you salvation. So once again, there's two requirements so far. One is believing, and the other is baptism. Now, this is not a sermonette or a discourse on what's required for you and what is a proper baptism and what is it. You know, you can go all the way from getting sprinkled, getting doused with a fire hose, to getting thrown into a swimming pool with 150 other people. This is not a discourse on baptism, but baptism is required. So it says here that Jesus said that those who believe and are baptized would be saved. Now, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, other scriptures bear this out, you're not going to receive eternal life. You're not going to receive eternal life. So far, if you're a believer and you've been baptized, it's possible for you to have the Holy Spirit. There's one more thing that's required. Not the only one. There's literally dozens of requirements to receive the Holy Spirit. One of them is you have to be breathing. What? Well, you got to be alive to receive the Holy Spirit. Some people, and don't, I'm not making fun of anything, but there are certain denominations that will baptize you in the place of your dead father or your dead mother, and they impute to you their baptism. Well, the Bible always shows that all the people that were baptized were alive and breathing. So I'm not making fun of that. That's just one of the requirements. There are literally dozens of requirements. Two of them so far is you have to believe, and the others you have to be baptized. There's another one we're going to look at. This is found in Acts chapter 5, verse 32. What happened in Acts chapter 2? In Acts chapter 2, we had the giving of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. I find it interesting that it was not given on Christmas, that it was not given on Easter, that it was not given on the Day of Love, Valentine's Day. But the Holy Spirit was poured out on Pentecost, one of God's holy days, which most churches tell you don't have to keep anymore. Look at Acts chapter 5, and we're going to look in verse 32 for one of the other requirements, not the only ones, but one of them. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, which God has given to those who obey him. In order to receive the Holy Spirit, you must obey him. Are you obeying God if you keep the commandments? Yes. Do you have to not lie? Yes. Do you have to not steal? Yes. Do you have to be faithful to your wife? Yes. Do you have to keep the Sabbath? Yes. Because those are all part of obedience. You also have to have love for the brethren and many other things. But one of the things, and one of the things that the world sorely lacks when they look at the idea of having the Holy Spirit, is obedience. I can live together with my boyfriend, and God's going to give me the Holy Spirit if I just pray hard enough. No, he's not. You're not obeying him. If you're not obeying God, you're not going to receive the Holy Spirit. So, three of the things we've looked at so far in order to receive the Holy Spirit, very, very summary way of looking at it, is one, you have to believe. The other is you have to be baptized properly. And the other is you must obey. And each one of those is a whole series of sermons, brother. My point today was to answer the question, do unbelievers have the Holy Spirit? There are many false ideas about God and his way and his workings. Man's traditions and his ideas are not what God is interested in. He wants his people, those that have received the Holy Spirit, to be fully immersed and fully dedicated to his way of life. There is no end around, or no workaround, or no shortcut. Unbelievers do not have the Holy Spirit. Let me give you a little caveat here, though. But unbelievers can be led by the Holy Spirit and then brought to repentance. I've known people that are in the church. They were baptized and received the Holy Spirit. But before that, the Holy Spirit was working in their lives, leading them and guiding them. I look at my life before I became a baptized church member, and I can see how God was manipulating things so that I would be more receptive to the calling he was given. And I'm sure if I talk to everyone in here, because I've talked to lots of you, you all have the same types of stories. God uses the Holy Spirit to lead you to repentance, which then leads you to baptism, to believing, and all these other things. Because a person has the Holy Spirit, they are led into the truth and are given spiritual understanding beyond all kinds of in all kinds of situations, beyond our wildest dreams, brethren. We're given understanding that the ancients wish they had. Simply is not maybe the right word, but because we have the Holy Spirit. Christ said he would send a helper, a comforter, aka the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit would guide us and lead us. Unbelievers do not have this great spiritual advantage, but we who have the Holy Spirit do.